Today we begin Megillas Esther. We're going to be learning lesson number one about the party. Today we'll begin learning Psukim Aleph Taches, Psukim 1 to 8 in Perek Aleph. If you're using the Simonim Tanakh, it's the page that's not numbered, but it's before 1262. It's the page before that. And let's go through the Psukim, explaining them carefully. Welcome for all of you who are joining this program. There will be a total of 24 lessons, as we will be able to complete the book of Esther right before Purim. Pasuk Aleph, Vayehi, and it was, Bimei, in the days of Achashverosh. Achashverosh, who is that person? Who he is? Who is Achashverosh? He is Hamolech, the one who reigned Mehodu, from a place called Hodu, Va'ad Kush, and until Kush. Many say that one area, Hodu, is India. Others say Kush is Ethiopia. The commentaries are saying that this is a description of the awesome power that he had. The Talmud says that Hodu was on one end of the civilized world, while Kush was on the other. Others say they were right next to each other. There's still no real conflict. He ruled from one end of the world to another. Some say that these are the two examples of two ends of the earth. Others say they were right next to each other, that he ruled the entire world as tight-fistly as he ruled these two places that were so close to him. Be that as it may, the Navi is conveying the idea that he ruled over, he had supreme rulership over the civilized world. And how extensive was this? Sheva, 7, Ve'estrim, and 20, Umeya, and 100 Medina provinces. He ruled over 127 provinces. Now, this story takes place in the year of creation 3,395, which is 57 years after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, before the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. King Achashverosh is the successor of a person by the name of Koresh. He was the king beforehand of Persia. This was the nation, together with Modai, that destroyed Bavel. That was the country that destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash. So the story is taking place well into the Golus, the exile, 57 years into it, not yet rebuilding the second temple. Pasuk Beis, Bayomim Ahem, that in those days, in which days? Kisheves, when he sat, who sat? Hamelech Achashverosh, when King Achashverosh sat, Al-Kisei Malchuso, Al-Kisei, on the throne, Malchuso, on his royal throne. Now, where was this royal throne? Asher, which was in Shushan, that's the name of the city, Shushan Habira, the capital. Then it wasn't in the city of Shushan per se. It was the capital royal compound that was separated from the actual city of Shushan. He had a moat between the actual city of Shushan and the capital compound, which is called Shushan HaBira. Why does the Navi have to tell us that he was in Shushan HaBira? Truth of the matter is, the capital was somewhere else. The capital was moved because the king wanted to show his great wealth, and therefore he wanted to have a throne constructed with the great intricacies similar to the one that King Solomon had. And it was a very unbelievable throne. And he hired people, and the only people who knew how to build such a throne were in the city of Shushan. When they finished completing the throne, they told the king, it's ready, but we cannot move it. It's so enormous, it has to be where it is. And therefore the king moved the capital to Shushan HaBira. We will see later, this is the first of many aspects of God's hidden divine supervision of the story, because we see that the whole reason this happened was, as we will learn, that Mordechai lived in Shushan, and therefore Hashem wanted Mordechai to be involved in the story. So that's why the Navi says he's ruling in Shushan HaBira, That is the capital. Pasuk Gimel. When in his rule did this happen? Bishnas, in the year of Shalosh, the third year, Limocho, of his reign, when his reign was now secure. So he began his reign 3 years prior, in the year 3392, when the 3 years were up. Asa, he made Mishta, a feast, L'chol Sarav, to all his officers, Vavadov, and servants. And who are they? Chel, the army of Paras, Persia, Umadai, that's another country, Media. Paras is mentioned first because he was really from Paras. Paras and Umadai was two nations that banded together. That's why Paras was mentioned first. So it was the army of Paras and Umadai as well. Ha Partumim, the nobles, people of royal descent. Visarei, and officials of Hamedinos, of the different provinces, Lifanov, being present before him. So why is he making this party? He's making this party for many reasons. Number one, his throne that he asked to have built was finally finished, so he can show off his throne. Number two, he had secured his reign by marrying Vashti, which was a granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar, so he kind of solidified his throne. There also was a 70-year prophecy where the Jewish prophet said that the Jews would return back from the exile after 70 years, to which the non-Jewish world was very concerned about. And according to Achashverosh's miscalculations, he saw that the 70-year prediction had come true, and the Jews were not going back to rebuilding the temple. And finally, he made the party in order to seduce the Jews, which we'll see shortly, to sin. And if they sin, God will be unhappy with them and will punish them. So he's making this party. And the Navi now goes into great deal in Pasuk Dalet to show you the great wealth that was there. He wants to show off all his wealth. Pasuk Dalet. Beharos, when he displayed, he showed, S, what? Osher, the riches of Kivod, his glorious Malchuso kingdom. Ves and Yekor, the splendor of Tiferes, the majesty of Gedula, so his excellency. So he showed that all off. How long was this party? Yomim Rabim, many days. Shmonim 80, Umaas and 100, Yom days. 180 days. Now, why is he making the party for 180 days? And why is he showing off his wealth? He wanted to dazzle his subject with his great wealth so that they would be loyal to him. Anyone who's independently wealthy, he may not have to tax them so much. He showed them all the wealth that he had, not any of the wealth that he may have stolen. The commentaries tell us he had Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylonia, had 1,080 different treasures that were buried by the Euphrates River. God revealed them to King Koresh, and then Achashverosh inherited them. And we see from the text, there's six words that describe his wealth. Osher, Kivod, Malchuso, Yikor, Tiferes, and Gedulaso, which hints to the fact that he showed six different treasures in each of the 180 days, which equals 1,080 days. So he wanted to surely impress everyone with his great wealth and to celebrate at this party. Pasuk Hey, Uvim Los, and when they were filled, finished, Hayomim Ho'ela, these days, the first party was over. Asa HaMelech, the king made, now just to know, there's an important rule to know throughout this Megillah. Whenever the Megillah says HaMelech Achashverosh, Achashverosh the king, it's referring only to Achashverosh the king. When it just calls him by the name HaMelech, the king, there's a double meaning. It means Achashverosh, and it also means HaMelech, the actual king Hashem. Because Hashem is not mentioned, the name of Hashem is not mentioned in the Megillah. This is one of the hidden aspects of the Megillah. And Hashem is only hinted to in a veiled way when it says the king. We're not going to go through every case to show where it's showing that it's Hashem as well, but just to be aware of that. So the king, obviously it's Achashverosh as well, what did he do? L'chol ha'am, for all the people, hanimtzoim, who were present, b'shushan habira, in the capital city of Shushan. Who got invited? Lumi Gadol, from the great ones, Vad Katan, and the small ones were all alike. The small were served as lavishly as the great. And he made a mishta, a feast, that lasted Shivas Yamim, 7 days. And this is where the Jews were living, in Shushan HaBira. And clearly Mordechai advised the Jews not to go to the party, because this party is really celebrating the fact that the temple is not being rebuilt. It's a great Chilul Hashem. People did not listen to him, and that's why later on God makes a decree that they should be annihilated. Now, where was the party? It was Bachatzar, in the courtyard. It was outside of Ginas, the garden of Bisan, the palace, Hamelech, of the king. And now the Navi goes into tremendous detail, more so than of the first party, of the finery that was there. Why? Because the first party was for nobles and officers. They weren't that, you know, they're used to seeing ostentatious parties. But the commoners were just totally overwhelmed by it. And the Navi therefore expresses this great overwhelming show of lavish wealth, starting with Pasuk Vav. You'll notice the letter Ches in the very first word is enlarged, and we'll discuss that in a moment. So what did they show him? Hangings of draperies, tapestries, hangings of chur, white, karpas, fine cotton, uschelus in blue, achuz, that were held with bechavle, with cords of vutz, fine linen, v'argamon in purple, and they were all upon klile, rods of kesef, silver, v'amude sheish, and marble pillars. So you can imagine how magnificent these hangings were, hanging on through, connected with the fine cords, and then silver rods and marble pillars as well. Mitos, couches made out of zov, gold, vachesev, and silver. Al ritzpas, on pavements of bahat, green, vashesh, white, vidar, and shell, visocheres, and onyx marble. Incredible wealth. This was in the courtyard of the palace, not even in the palace. The letter Ches is enlarged because the gematria of Ches is the number 8. And the king, amongst all the things he did, one of the brazen things he did, was to wear the 8 garments of the high priest that was buried after the temple was, it was hidden in the basement, as it were, once the temple was destroyed. No one would have the chutzpah to wear such holy clothes, but now that he felt the temple would not be rebuilt, he wore those holy clothes, and therefore later he will be punished, number one, with the episode of Vashti, we'll see tomorrow, the second episode of her subsequent death, third, his embarrassment of him doing all that, and four, his subsequent depression and loneliness. So this is already one of his brazen things. Pasuk Zayin, Vahashkos, and the drinking that was served in Chalezov, in gold utensils. Vechelim, and utensils, Mikelim Shonim, from different utensils. And in the Megillah it is read with the tune of Echa. Vechelim, Mikelim Shonim. Why? First of all, the meaning of different vessels. Number one, they did not use one cup more than once. Number two, no two goblets were alike. Number three, many of the utensils were utensils from the temple again. And that's the second brazen act. And though earlier in history, when the evil Belshazzar miscalculated the 70-year prophecy not coming true, that night Hashem had him destroyed, in this story, Achashverosh was not destroyed. And this was a great shake-up for the Jews, who may have then maybe believed that the prophecy that of the 70-year return will not come true, for Achashverosh was not punished. The yain and the wine of Malchus, of the kingdom, was rav in abundance, kiyad, like the bounty of Hamelech, according to the king. The wine was plentiful. We are told that the wine that a person was served, who was asked, how old are you? And the wine was older than the person. Clearly, this was a very lavish feast on all ends. You can be sure there was lots of food, lots of wine. And in Pasuk Ches, Vahashasiya, and the drinking was Chadas according to the law, but Ein Ones, without coercion. The custom was at these lavish feasts, people would be obliged to drink a huge goblet that was could hold 2 quarts of wine, which could cause people to get sick, die, or pass out, and usually that's what people had to do. So they put out those cups, but they were not coerced to drink them. In other words, the king wanted to show how wealthy he was, but didn't force people to drink it. Why is that so? Kichem, because so, Yisad ordered, Hamelech, the king ordered it. You have it there, but you don't have to drink it. There we see a good allusion to Hashem, which is allusioning to the world. There's a lot of beautiful things in this world, big, big amounts of pleasure, but you're not forced to be involved in it, and you can't abstain. Now, this was the big cups, and this is the way he ordered it. I'll call Rav Beiso to all the officers of his palace. He gave all the instructions to the waiters and the butlers and everybody. Lasos to do kirtzon as the wishes of ish for ish, man and man, each man according to his wishes. In other words, you give him what he wants, you don't force him. The king understood if he forced the Jews to drink wine that they should not drink, then the Jews could have an excuse. If he forced them to eat trade food, they can have an excuse. The king offered kosher food, kosher wine, everything if you want, and there's other things as well. And therefore, so everyone will have a free choice. The commentators say, ish for ish, man and man, applies to Mordechai and Haman. In other words, according to Haman's wish and according to Mordechai's wish, as both of them wanted to have the people not forced to drink the wine. Haman wanted them not to be forced, so if they would drink the wine and sin, they would be punished. Mordechai wanted them to have a choice so they could resist and say no. So here you have the party that is celebrating on one level that the temple is not being rebuilt. Mordechai tells the Jews not to go to the party. The Jews say, listen, we want to be friendly with the king. They do not listen to the leader of the generation. And therefore this sets the scene that years later will come the decree to annihilate the Jewish people. Let's take a look at the questions. Question number one, when did the Purim story take place? In the year 3395 of creation, towards the end of the exile after the first temple, before the second temple was built. To how many provinces did Ahasuerus rule over? 127. Three, what nation was Ahasuerus the king of? He was a king of Paras, Persia. Four, what was the capital called? Shushan. Why was that city the capital? Because the king moved the capital to Shushan because of the great throne that was built there that could not be moved. Six, in what year of his reign did the king make the feast? At the end of the third year. Seven, why did the king make the feast? 4 reasons. Number one, the throne was just finished. Number two, his reign was secured by marrying Vashti. Number three, the 70-year prediction of the return from the exile passed with no incident. And number four, to get the Jews to sin by going to such a party. Eight, who was invited to the first feast? The first feast had the armies of Paras and Madai. It had many officials, noblemen, officials from the 127 provinces. Why? He invited them to dazzle them with his wealth and to secure their seeing his new palace, his new everything, and to start things with a great show of strength and power. 9. How long did the first feast last? 180 days. 10. How much of his treasures did the king display at the feast? 1,080. He showed 6 treasures at each and every day of the feast. 11. Where was the second feast held? In Shushan. 12. Who was invited to the second feast? All the residents of Shushan, great or small. Why? To show everybody, even the simple common man, that he is the ruler and that they should be loyal to him. And also, specifically this party, to invite the Jews to get them to sin. 13. Who told the Jews not to attend the second feast and why? Mordechai told them not to attend because it would be a desecration of God to attend a party that is claiming that the temple will not be rebuilt. 14, how long did the second feast last? 7 days. 15, why is the second feast described in greater detail the first feast? Since commoners were invited, they were overwhelmed by the wealth, and therefore the Navi writes it based on the feelings of how the guests envisioned what happened. 16, why is the letter Ches enlarged in Pasuk 6? To symbolize with the Gematria 8 that Ahasuerus wore the 8 garments that was previously worn by the Kohen Gadol. 17, what 2 brazen things against Hashem does the king do? He wears the vestments of the Kohen Gadol. He also makes use of the holy goblets that were used in the temple as well. 18, what 4 punishments does the king receive because of this? Number 1, the episode of Vashti. Number 2, her subsequent death. Number 3, his embarrassment from the whole thing. And number 4, his subsequent depression. 19, describe the uniqueness of the wine cups used at the feast. No wine cup was used twice. Every wine cup looked different than everything else. And some of the wine cups were cups used in the temple previously. 20, describe the uniqueness of the wine. The wine was offered older than the age of the people drinking it. 21, what does the drinking was according to the law without coercion mean? Number 1, no one was forced to drink any wine at all. Number 2, that large cup that was customarily served that held 2 quarts of wine was put on the table to show the king has the wealth to supply it, but nobody is forced to drink it. 22, what does the deeper meaning of according to every man's pleasure mean? It means according to the pleasure of Haman or according to the pleasure of Mordechai. No one was forced to eat. Haman wanting people not to be forced to eat so they, if they sin, it will be out of free choice. Mordechai doesn't want people forced so they could avoid having to sin. 23, what grievous sin did the Jews do in today's lesson? They attended the party which was celebrating the fact that the temple would not be rebuilt. 24, why did the Jews deserve to have a decree of annihilation made against them? Because they attended the party. 25, what is the deeper significance between the description of HaMelech Ahasuerus and HaMelech without Ahasuerus? HaMelech Ahasuerus is a direct reference only to Ahasuerus. HaMelech has a double meaning. It refers to Ahasuerus and Hashem in a hidden way. 26, what is the first example of Hashem's hidden divine supervision in this story? That Ahasuerus moved his palace to Shushan. Ultimately, this is where Mordechai lived, and that will set the scene for the rest of the story. Please spend some time going over today's lesson. Have a great day.